Riley County Police Department Director Dennis Butler joining us. Good morning, Director Butler.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Oh, you know, it's Friday. It's Friday the 13th. Are you superstitious at all?
No, I'm not.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a good thing.
Sorry, I took the wind out of your sails.
Nope. I expect you to. You know, you're just kind of like a straight and narrow. You know, what do you call it? Evidence-based or something like that.
Well, I will qualify the superstition with one experience. I was not at all a believer in the full moon effect on people's behavior until I became a police officer. But
really?
There's definitely something to that.
What changed? What happened?
I don't know. But I just noticed when I worked during a full moon, it seemed like a lot of unusual and weird things would happen to members of our population.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm sure that's probably true. Well, we got a lot of things that, we could discuss today. And, I think probably, first I'd like to lead off our discussion here today with, COVID-19, which seems to be the preeminent topic. And I think it's fascinating to see how individual groups, businesses, entities are handling or dealing with COVID-19 and describe some of the tactics that you've taken at RCPD with regard to COVID-19?
Well, I can talk about internal tactics and also service to the public. In terms of our service to the public, education is still our priority. When we see people that don't seem to be in compliance with the mask ordinance especially, we advise them. We still hand out masks. I think we're going to have to re-up our supply on that with the trend that the positives are going. So we continue to do that internally. We have all kinds of protocols in place, especially with prisoners coming into the jail, in terms of asking them questions about where they've been, how do they feel, taking their temperature. If we have somebody who may have been around another positive person, isolating them. And those kinds of tactics are also used with our own employees, taking temperatures, encouraging them to wear masks. Now, again, I know I've acknowledged this every time I've been on the show about when officers are out in public providing service. They have masks with them, and they've been instructed on when they should be wearing them, especially when they're inside. But I still remain concerned about the lack of being able to connect with a police officer on a call when they're wearing a mask, that dehumanization effort that I saw a few months ago. It doesn't seem to be quite as prevalent, but I still think it's important for communication purposes for people to see the faces of officers while they're serving them.
And I think it's probably also important, and how much of a conflict is it for officers not being able to see the faces of those that they are serving or, dealing with?
Yeah, it's the same issue. I mean, it goes both ways. It's very difficult. We're in the people business. We've been in the people business. We'll remain in the people business, whether it's a community we're serving or our own employees. Not being able to connect with those facial expressions creates barriers. And those barriers are things that we're very well aware of, and we work very hard to not let situations deteriorate because of that. This is, again, we've talked about it being unprecedented and how trying it is for all of us, not just in the police department, but we continue to remain aware of that and try to do our very best to provide the kind of service people expect.
Mm-hmm. Have you had many COVID-19 issues within your staff?
We had a week period about 2 months ago, a month and a half ago, where we had 3 positives in a week period. The first one, we don't know how that happened. The next one we had, was another employee, and we knew we'd have a second one or third one, because that employee lived with another one of our employees, and that's exactly what happened. So in about a week period, we had 3 positives. We took all the precautions we needed to when that happened, and the contact tracing, we knock on wood. Well, that's superstitious by saying that, isn't it? Knock on wood.
Mm.
But anyway,
there you go.
We haven't had any more since. Now, I don't know if we're just lucky. I don't know if it's because of what we do here internally. I don't attribute it to anything other than we do take it seriously and we're doing our very best. knowing that we can't hunker down and isolate ourselves from the community. If we did that, we couldn't serve them.
Yeah, certainly. Let's talk a little bit about some of the restrictions that are in place currently. Local health order number 18. There have been a couple of situations here recently with Aggieville bars that have been closed down and because of violations of the health order. How has RCPD had a role in these actions?
Well, we are expected by the health department when we see violations, and we see pretty significant ones that we think need attention, to first of all do what we always do, try to educate the bar owners, which it's not just bars, it's every business where we see that, but educate them about what we're seeing and ask for compliance. And the officers wear body cameras, and so these interactions are recorded. And not only the conversations, but what the officers see, a lot of that is recorded as a visual representation of what they are observing. And these violations that we perceive are then forwarded to the health department along with a report, a written report that the officers file about what they've observed. The health department then makes a decision on whether or not it's a violation of the local health order. And as you've seen in a couple of instances recently, then they've issued a closure order. The closure order requires them to become compliant with the health order 18. And then once they feel like they've done that, they can reopen. And then we monitor reopening. The non-compliance of the health order, these health orders are signed by a judge. So further non-compliance is a violation of a court order. And then that's something that's sent to the county attorney's office. If we feel like there's a violation of the order, and then he would decide whether or not he wanted to pursue the case criminally.
What are the possible actions that they could take in a criminal court?
You know, I'll be honest with you, Dave. I don't know what the penalties would be in a situation like that. I haven't asked. Typically, and to be frank with you, you know, when we enforce the law, it's not something that we take into consideration on what either a fine or a jail sentence could be. Our job is to, when we see violations, handle them either through warnings, discretion, or citations or arrests. And then once it enters the court system, we just don't have a stake in that. That's not a priority for us to know somebody's going to go to jail or somebody's going to be held accountable a certain way. So I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah. Do you have you increased your presence and primarily, you know, in Aggieville? To basically kind of follow along with what some of the establishments are doing?
Well, I haven't directed us to increase our presence. We do respond to complaints. So when we receive citizen complaints or if we observe what appears to be violations, we pay attention to it. I want you to know that we make these same observations at lots of businesses around town, not just Aggieville. So there's other restaurants that we visit. Just as a courtesy to make sure that it's being operated safely in compliance with the order. So I can tell you I haven't said spend more time in Aggieville. And as you know, the order requires earlier closures. So that by itself requires less presence down there and less attention because it is supposed they're supposed to close earlier than normal.
Okay. We have a caller standing by, and let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on K-Man's In Focus today with Dennis Butler, Riley County Police Department Director. Good morning.
Good morning. We've had three situations that we're, I guess, waiting on reports for. One was where the gentleman accused an officer of beating up on him, and I'm not sure if that's been completely worked out. Another one where we had a tragic incident up around Tuttle Creek where unfortunately a person passed away. And recently a situation in Ogden, Kansas where four people were injured by gunfire. Have we come to resolution on any of those? And when will the reports be forthcoming?
Well, on the first two, those were investigated by other agencies at our request. And my understanding is that the investigations have been completed and submitted to prosecution for review. These investigations were not conducted by us, so I don't have any information about when we will hear something. But on those first two, that's the answer to that. On the third one, the shooting that happened in Ogden, that is being actively investigated right now. We're fortunate that no one died during that violent encounter between several people out there. But we are investigating that, and we continue to investigate that. It would be premature for me to discuss any of the details or information we have about what we think happened. So we're continuing to work on it.
Do you have a suspect in the situation in Ogden?
I don't want to say yes or no. We're talking to people that were there trying to sort out exactly what happened. And it's been a challenge. I'll just say that. But we are working on it.
Appreciate the call. And, Director, we're going to take our first break of the program. Director Dennis Butler of the Riley County Police Department is joining us on KMAN's In Focus this morning. After the break, we have more questions, and we'll be able to entertain your calls and questions as well. 537-1350 is the number at News Radio KMAN. In Focus returns in just a moment on KMAN.